Hey, it's Mark, and I'm back with another great episode of Finding Your Summit. And this week, I've got another rock star chick named Koki Bereni, and I met her on the summit, actually not the summit, but the mountain of Denali. And I got paired to be on her rope team. I got to be honest, you know, at first I was just like, okay, you know, you're each person is carrying 130 pounds. We're going straight up this crazy mountain. I had been there the year before, and you know, a lot of crazy things happen. There's crevasses, there's avalanches, there's going straight up, there's being on a fixed line. And I got to tell you, she held her own. There was nobody I would have rather have been on that rope team with than Koki. We shared a tent, we shared a lot of stories, and she's all about trying to have a perfect day. And so overcoming some struggles of her own in her past, she is really all about work, about life, and about balance. And as we all know, many times we get very unbalanced. And so she holds these workshops called Lifestyle Deficit Disorder, which is awesome. But she really helps people formulate a perfect day. What is that all about? And it's easy to say, and it's hard to do. So listen, this girl's got it all going on. She's sassy, she is strong, and she's really a person that a lot of people can look up to. And as I said, I can't think of anybody I would have rather been on that mountain with, and I will always the open invite to her to climb with me in the future. So that's Koki. All right, and if anybody wants to follow my journey headed to Antarctica, Vincent Massif, January 9th. Hopefully I can tag my sixth of the seven summits. That will be exciting, as I said, in 2019. So hopefully I can do that successfully. You can find more information about that, about a book I have coming out, about an e-learning course that's around the corner at www.markpattisonnfl.com. You can also reach out to me there if you want to send any comments, or you have some other person that you know that's gone through some adversity, have found their way, or any tips. Always remember to also go on to iTunes. We love ratings and reviews. It's something I say week in and week out. It gets old, but it's true. The more reviews you get, the higher you become searched for within the Apple pod world. And that's something that we're trying to do, because we are trying to present these different people that have inspirational stories that we can all learn from, okay? And as always, we are sponsored by Valitor Blue Skincare Line.com. Check it out. Cindy Besteman, she's a rock star too. So on that note, let's go talk to Koki. Here we go. Hey, it's Mark Pattison back again with another fantastic episode of Finding Your Summit. And this week, I'm so jacked up because I'm talking to one of my climbing mates on Denali. We just got back. I'm now in Sun Valley, Idaho, beaming all the way to Silverton, Colorado. We've got Koki Bereni. Koki, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. Glad to be with you today.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, look, we've got a lot to get into. And, you know, I've bragged about you a number of different times because of your grit on the mountain, the way that things divided up. And I'm telling you something that you already know, but I want to tell the listener, on Denali, which is just a monster of a mountain. The thing that makes it so difficult is that you have to carry roughly 130 pounds per person up the mountain, partly on your back, partly on a sled. You're going in very deep snow between snowshoes and crampons. You're going up super steep. Hills is the wrong word, but it's part of the mountain as you go and you navigate your way through all these crevasse fields. And the way that things just divided up this last year, where there was nine people that were supposed to go on the, in terms of, paid climbers on the trip, only six, made it, and they'd originally signed three guides. So we got fortunate that it was one guide per two climbers on a rope team. And I happened to draw Koki. And, as it all turned out at the end of the day, Koki like outperformed pretty much all the guys on the trip, and I ended up on the strongest rope team, and it was just a joy to be and have you on that rope team. And obviously, you know, we spent hours and hours and hours together watching each other's backs and interacting. So that's kind of a long intro, but I just wanted to like set the tone of what just an animal in all the right ways and powerhouse you are as a woman, a dynamic, a force that, you know, I would certainly climb with any time.
Oh my gosh. I wish your listeners could see me because I'm blushing. But thank you. That, you know, everything you said is exactly what I experienced. It was honestly, when you go on these commercial climbs and you don't know anyone who you're climbing with, it's luck of the draw in terms of whose rope team you get put on. And I was thrilled and honored to be on yours.
Well, I think there's a lot of mutual respect, and that is gained over, you know, performance and how you react to different conditions. And all those things did play out. As you know, we ultimately had somebody fall 30 feet into a crevasse. We had Pat, as you know, on the day going up through the Audubon, fall on that very steep face, that incline, twice right in front of you, and he had to get pulled back in. And, you know, you and I just never had any of those issues. You know, we helped each other. We rooted each other on, and, you know, there wasn't really any weak link on our rope team. And so, you know, where did that come from? Where did you start climbing? Because I know you're from Charleston, South Carolina, and to my knowledge, I think your highest peak might be 10 feet.
Well, our tallest peak in South Carolina, I think, caps out somewhere around, I don't know, 3,400 feet. I could be wrong on that. It's not something you write down or tweet about, needless to say. I love the question because it's the favorite part of my story. And my platform right now, which is Perfect Day. So sorry to give a plug early on, but you know, in the tent, we talked a lot of Perfect Day, right? And a lot of finding your summit. That is how I came to climbing. I found myself almost sort of hoodwinked into attending a day-long seminar in a very cold day in January with my business coach and probably 30 other people I did not know. With the aspiration and the understanding that I would be leaving that day's workshop having written my perfect day. You know, a busy, busy professional woman in a man's world. I've been in finance and investments since 1996. You know, the first thing through my mind is this is a day of revenue lost, right? Like, I'm not going to make any money doing this, but yeah. Okay, my coach is begging me to go. So I'm going to do it. So I pull in on two wheels, you know, like throw my seatbelt off. I'm trying to channel some Enya just to try and get into whatever space I'm supposed to be in. And I'm, you know, running in late. Lo and behold, having never climbed a mountain in my life, I departed that day. And that was in 2003, having written my very first perfect day. I'd never done that exercise. And in that exercise or in my perfect day, I had children that I did not have. I had a nonprofit called She Climbs, which I did not have. I was climbing the Seven Summits, which I had never climbed a mountain. And that day was obviously very transformational. And, you know, what did I say? 2003. So here, 15 years later, I do have children. I do have a nonprofit called She Climbs. And I'm one less summit than you, but I've got four of the seven under my belt.
That's just amazing. So I think, you know, when we're talking about this hashtag perfect day that you and I did spend a lot of time talking about, how you define that was work, life, and balance. And I think the thing that makes it so challenging for all of us who have those components in it, you know, especially when kids get thrown in there, or work, you know, takes over your life, is that you find yourself very unbalanced, right? So tell me, with all these different, you know, now you fast forward the clock, as you said, 15 years, and now you've got your work that you're going forward on, you've got a personal brand that you're going out, well, you've got your beautiful kids that you tend to. How do you figure out and find a way to stay balanced in the very unbalanced way of day-to-day things are always changing?
So I love the opportunity to speak to this because I don't really believe in work-life balance, A, and B, I don't believe in perfection. So despite the fact that the book and the consulting platform is Perfect Day, I believe in the mindset as one of embracing imperfection. And so in the same vein, to address the whole work-life balance, I believe you have to accept imbalance in order to achieve this really kind of unachievable work-life balance. for me, I like to frame it in a context of a life-driven business model versus a business-driven life model, which is not what we really see. And if you could sort of, I don't know if you've ever experienced sort of that mentality of like overseas and the European way, which is, you know, they take huge siestas in the middle of the day and they're with their families in the middle of the day and they shut down their businesses and life stops and they take mandatory 6 weeks, you know, vacations, you know, with their families. And it's just not what we see here in the States. Yep. I don't know if you feel that's true.
Yeah, no, look, I've been with my kids in Europe twice and I've been to Europe a number of times, but you know, you go over there in August and it's just shut down. And you're going like, where's everybody? And they're right. Really checked out. They're vacationing too.
And that's their focus is very different than what we've been raised to focus on. And so, you know, just sort of as by way of easy example, they're living a life driven business model, those business owners. And so what I try and encourage my clients and myself, this is something I have to ingrain in myself every day. I've gotten pretty good at it, but is making sure that your business is serving you and your life and not the other way around. And so for me, it's about lifestyle first, family first, and making sure that your priorities are more in balance as opposed to this feeling of balance in day to day. And so also to speak to the balance / imbalance, and if this is not making sense, you know, let me know. But I have a tool to help bring perfect days to my clients and to, you know, the public at large, which is called 411, which is about doing four things that are going to make a perfect day before 11 a.m. It's a perfect example of I try and get my clients to focus on what really, really, really matters most and where they're going to get most momentum, most productivity, most joy before 11 a.m. And then you let the rest of the day go to pot, whether it's to your business or to whatever. And so in that respect, I hope you can see how that's sort of imbalanced because you're cramming you, selfishness, me, whatever I need to get for me before 11 a.m. And then after 11, it's like, okay, take me world, I'm ready for you. So there's a huge imbalance in that, but I think that works. And it works for sort of this perfect day work-life balance mindset.
Yeah, no, I love that. And as you know, we there was a couple times on the mountain that we've been chatting, and for those that don't know, typically just because of weight and everything else, they divide you into teammates and tent mates. And Koki and I drew the lucky straw, and so we were in there together, very respectful of each other's privacy. But at the same time, there's a lot of opportunities to chat, and there's a couple times in there where I had to dial up a couple 411s with you trying to make sure I was going to get, you know, everything done, getting my crampons on. But, you know, there's this old adage and it takes a while to learn that. And I think women are probably more guilty of this than men in some ways because they're so selfless, especially when kids come into the picture and they don't take care of themselves. And then they end up getting very resentful and some other things like that. For me, there's two things that pop into my mind. Number one, is that every single morning, feet on floor, I go out the door and I work out. And that's just something that I have to do to get my brain in motion. And that feeds my soul. The second thing I had to do, and this happened, you know, pretty much right before and then after Denali, is I decided to pick up my life and move to Sun Valley, Idaho, a very mountainous community. I know that you're sitting in a similar spot right now in Silverton, Colorado. You know, it's small. It's 3,400 people. It's not LA with millions of people crammed in one little spot. And the serenity of the mountains and everything else really feeds my soul. And so that I totally get what you're saying in terms of really trying to dial up that perfect, perfect day and doing some things for yourself and then letting the rest of the day unfold.
And I have a similar situation with Silverton as you did with Sun Valley in that, and I think that there's a huge imbalance in the story I'm about to share, and it's in the book, Perfect Day, which by the way, I think is still available for free download. If you're a Kindle or a downloadable book reader, freebook.cookiebruni.com. There's a story in the book that talks about how one day, you know, I was in the throes of just outside of the recession. And again, I'm in finance and investments. So had just started a new practice and you know, my husband at the time was a busy manufacturing, you know, industrial engineer. And so we were both just like clawing to keep businesses afloat. And we had young kids. And in the middle of that, I woke up and I did what's called a reset. And I had to dial in the family unit. I knew that that was my 411 at the moment. I knew that like where I wanted to go was putting my kids first. And so I held my breath, moved, you know, halfway across the country to Silverton, Colorado, where we don't have 3,500 people. We have 450 full-time residents, one paved road. It was the little house on the prairie that I wanted to dial in that family unit. And so that's incredibly imbalanced, right? Needing to move halfway across the country, risking your business just so that I could put the world on hold and like sort of insulate my children for a little bit to sort of right size our family morals and values and who we are and what we wanted to be about. Not everybody has to do that. So everybody's different on the types of resets or awakenings that they need to have in terms of finding transformation. But I don't know. I think if you talk to us mountain climbers, we're pretty extreme. So moving to Silverton, Colorado was a great move for our family. And it's become my lifestyle office today.
Well, I think part of what you're talking about is that on that reset is also just taking a time out. And some people might call that meditation. Some people might call that working out. Some people might call that journal writing. But I think it's if you don't take a time out to really get inside and figure out where you are at, to figure out where you're going, then I think life just screams by at a, you know, warp speed. And it's hard to really just, you know, navigate. And then, you know, you blink blank and next thing you know, you've led a life of regret. And I think it takes a lot of balls to put it on the line and do things that are very drastic. The name of this podcast is called Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. And there must have been a point in time in your life when, you know, you either felt stuck or things weren't working in the right way. Something I've experienced and something that you've experienced is that you had a marriage going. Obviously, you have two beautiful girls, I believe, and that marriage did not work out. And, you know, what were the strategies that you needed to use to, like, emerge successfully? For me, it was, you know, really retreating to the mountains. And for you, what was that?
Oh, wow. I'll frame it with this. It's an interesting one which I'll just explore live with you. But I'll preface it with even the Silverton story and even your Sun Valley story. And, you know, we call those resets, but a reset without a framework is just a Band-Aid.
Yep.
And that's a quote that you'll see all over my platform. So a reset without framework is just a Band-Aid. And so that's what Silverton was. Again, it's like we came here and it was a reset, but I had a framework of like how we were really going to harness and leverage that reset. So, you know, a lot of my clients are like, oh my God, I need a vacation, or, oh, I'm going to take 2 weeks off, or, oh, I'm going to take a month and travel the world. But if you don't have a framework for how are you going to harness, you know, I'm in money and finance. So what I try to do is help my clients marry, pun intended, as I truly aim to answer your question, try to marry their values and their ethics and who they are to their money. And so that's the disconnect I see on Wall Street and when people come to me with their investments and say, oh, I want to retire. It's like, well, why? What are you going to do? You know, are you really connected to your money and this whole story of life of why we're here? So all of that to say, in going through my divorce, I needed to make sure I had a framework and making sure that, A, entering into a very serious decision such as getting divorced, that it was rooted in my morals and values and what I really wanted for my future. And while I really don't tell my children this, I mean, that they were number one in my decision. I knew that, you know, their father is an amazing father. He really is. He's a great man, but we just didn't have a unified parenting and wanted to raise our kids differently. And so that was a huge disconnect. And so I knew if that was my number one thing that I want on my epitaph, which is, you know, she was an amazing mother, you know, who had a great relationship with her kids, far beyond she was an excellent speaker. She was a bestseller. You know, she ran amazing business. Like, I don't want any of that, right? I want to be an amazing mom. So I knew that was my framework for getting divorced, is that, you know, I knew, unfortunately, and that's sort of my own fault. That's sort of my own flaw in my own personality and my makeup, was that I had to do it, you know, without him. And so we're better parents. You may have heard this cliche. We're better parents apart than we are together. What kept me grounded, honestly, as cliche as it may sound, was a perfect day mindset and just looking at, you know, approaching everything from a place of gratitude. I mean, the days, I hope I can say, is that you just feel like shit because I cannot believe I'm waking up and this is my life. I never, ever thought, after being with someone for 20 years and my parents have been married almost 50, that I would ever be in the wake of divorce. And so instead of waking up every day having that mindset, it was more of, I'm really thankful that we are amicably separating. I'm really thankful that I met this wonderful man who gave me these wonderful children. And as like goopy and sappy as that sounds, the perfect day mindset always begins with gratitude. And it was, you know, and it sounds like it's an easy thing to do, but it wasn't. Waking up every day and really being thankful for the pillow your head is on and the roof that's over your head. And, you know, to bring that kind of back to climbing really gives me that grounding of essentialism. You know, being in a tent for 15 days when you make decisions of what to leave and what to bring, and you're full of joy on a mountain with none of your possessions, without your car, without your computer, really, you know, without contact to those that you love, without your favorite foods and your favorite pair of shoes and your favorite pillow. I mean, just being able to embrace this idea of essentialism from a place of gratitude is what kept me grounded. And I did keep climbing, of course. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there, but, you know, a couple of thoughts that came to my mind, you know, I've had a number of people come on this show and we've talked about that word gratitude. And, you know, one gal said, Christine Schwan had talked about, she doesn't even get out of bed until she's ready to hit the floor with the positive attitude, right? And so it might be an hour, it might be 10 minutes, it might be a minute, but she does not get out until she knows she's going to have a smile on her face. There's another former teammate of mine with the Raiders, Jerry Robinson, that emerges every day with the words, I have an attitude of gratitude. And I love that. And what you're really talking about, I think, is just, you know, what lens do you choose to look through? And, you know, you can look at like, hey, you know, things are bad and awful and it's snowing and it's cold and, you know, I haven't showered in 3 weeks. And you could look at it that way, or, you know, what an amazing, majestic place that we're in and how fortunate are we that we're sitting here in this place at 15,000 feet and surviving all this. You know, it's really amazing. I totally get what you're saying in terms of, you know, you decided to have a mindset of positivity about you propelling yourself in a forward direction post, you know, this divorce, which sucks. You know, I went through it, you know, it's not fun, but you can merge out and so many blessings can come if you, you know, channel it in the right way and you have a plan.
You know what I love about what you said about the woman who said, I'm not going to get out of bed before I have that mindset, is the mountain metaphors that come to me on mountain. And one of the ones I had just recently on Denali with you was the idea of using your bigger muscles versus your smaller muscles. And I've either blogged or talked about it since the climb. And that perfect day mindset, or that mindset of, is really using your big muscles, you know, like using your glutes and your hams and your quads, you know, like this is what's going to sustain you for the long run. Like if you're using your calves and your little micro muscles and your toe pointing on the mountain, like you're going to burn out. And for those who want a shortcut and think, oh, I'm going to jump out of bed and attack my day and not do first things first, like your other interviewee talking about the mindset, they're using their smaller muscles, their toe pointing, they're using their calves. It's the path of least resistance. And it's just unfortunately a recipe for, you know, what I call an ER moment. It's a recipe for burnout, for heart attack, for divorce, for rehab.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The, look, I just think, you know, I'm going to go back and say something I said a few minutes ago. It's if you don't continue to have check-ins along the way with where you're going, where you've been, and what you want to achieve, I think it's just hard to get there and do it in the most authentic way. And the one thing is, you know, when you're in the mountains, like we were on Denali, there's no cell coverage at all. And for people that you, like you and I, who are very wired and we do post and do all these other things, not to be connected for 3 weeks and you're up there, you know, it takes a couple of days to like sink into that. But at the same time, all those hours that you and I spent tethered together on that rope team, climbing over crevasses and up 45 degree pitches and everything else, it was just provided a fantastic opportunity to really think about, at least for me, about life and about my kids and about what's most important and about what I want to do, you know, next and when I get back and how I want to attack. And, you know, that's one of the great blessings that has come to me since I entered the mountains climbing these crazy things, you know, six, seven years ago. So, you know, these things always have certain blessings. But the key is you got to take a step forward, right? And so many people live by fear. And there's this great quote that came out that the NFL sends me once a week. And it said something like, you know, think about what life would be without fear. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, well, it would be different, obviously, because I'm fueled by fear. And I feel like when we go back to that muscle discussion, that exercising that muscle and just pushing into your fear every time is where, for me, the joy in life comes from. And, you know, to everybody else, the lay person who doesn't climb a mountain, who wants to say this doesn't apply to them, it does. Because you know what you call that, or they call that? Their comfort zone. Like, you know, living life in the comfort zone is not a life of joy. And so, just like you said on the mountain, you know, when you're, you know, climbing over crevasses and, you know, potentially self-arresting people, you know, falling down a pitch, that fear is real. And so when you come back to everyday life and you're like, oh yeah, I just started a new asset management business and my kids need me, so why don't I move across the country to Silverton, Colorado? Well, that's really scary. Yeah, my business could fail, but you're like, let's do it anyway. You know, I'm not going to fall off a mountain. For me, exercising those fear muscles on the side of a mountain makes you come back to life and not only appreciate all the big things you have, such as a car, you know, and a checkbook. It also makes you sort of slough off the things that may seem super scary to other people, you know, walking on the sidewalk in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah, there's no question. And look, I'm not saying that I don't walk around with certain fear, because I think fear sometimes can save your life. You know, like I'm not going to just rush out into the middle of the 405 in LA on the freeway because my fear is I'm probably going to get run over, right, and hit. So there's some common sense that comes with it. But at the same time, those things that, you know, people go, gosh, I wish I could do that, or that looks so amazing, but they don't do that because they have a fear that they'd fail or something bad would happen. I can't tell you, and I'm sure you've had the same thing, that, you know, people keep talking to me about, oh, aren't you scared of Everest and some of these other crazy mountains? And I go, actually, I'm not. And part of the reason why I'm not is because, just like things that you become good at, you know, you train those, your mind, your body, your soul. You and I have both gone through crevasse mountain rescue training. We've now been on several different rope teams, and you kind of just continue to hone your game. I didn't end up in the NFL, you know, on day one. It took me 14 years or something through grade school, high school, college, and then finally, you know, putting myself in a position to play with the big boys. But that just takes years and years of practice, and that's something that, you know, you do. And that's what, you know, for anybody that's listening, and that you have some kind of fear, and I want to quote something that you just said, go towards that fear. You know, think about what you want to do. Go overcome it. And the amount of satisfaction that you have when you actually go, and you and I are standing on top of Denali, high-fiving and hugging each other, is just so amazing, right? And then coming back and finally making it back into town and understanding that pain is temporary. You got through it. And now we're sitting down having a beer together.
Yeah. Well, and I always, it's important to me to always bring that analogy of mountain climbing to everyday life in the comfort zone, because fear is relative. And for the entrepreneur who's like, do I hire a COO? I mean, that could be to the clients I've encouraged to do that. That's more scary to them than you and I being on a knife edge ridge on the top of the tallest peak in North America. You know, and we don't subscribe to that, but the fear is real. The fear is super real. And so what, and it's a focus. It's like, well, are you going to focus on, you know, what the fallout could be, which is always financial. Wah, wah. It's like, you're going to put your focus on financial, but what about the joy? What about hire the COO? And now you have this, you know, life-driven business where, you know, you can travel the world with your kids, improve your relationships, fall in love, you know, and have a big fat checkbook. Like, why isn't that the focus? So it's just a shift. Just like you and I know the joy on top of a summit is worth the pain and the fear. And that's why we keep going. So it's just always encouraging people towards the joy and really what could be possible. And so you mentioned that thing about fear and that quote. And I love the quote of, what would you do if you weren't afraid to fail?
Yep.
What would you do?
Yeah.
And why? And so it's focusing on the really, 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 what do you want? And just not being afraid of why, because what people don't get is that's where the joy of life is. It's sitting right there in the fear.
Yeah. You know, the other thing too is I feel, I mean, the audience can't see this right now, but I'm broadcasting from my World HQ here in Sun Valley, as I mentioned, and I'm in my kitchen. That's my broadcasting studio. And I'm looking at my refrigerator, and on that refrigerator is my vision board. And I think you need to have daily reminders of what that goal is. So I've got all these mountains I've done, Coke. I've got my kids up on the board. I've got other things, you know, accomplishments I've done in the past and things I want to do in the future. And every single day, you need to be reminded of that goal. So they're not just words, because all
right,
these negative things seem to jump out on your shoulder on the left side or the right side. You know, you've got that angel and you've got that devil. And one's saying, go for it. And the other one's saying, you can't, right? And you need to, if you're not constantly just working towards, whether it's visually or whether it is something on paper, you know, your goals, I think it's very hard to accomplish those different things.
It is. And back to a tool, I love the vision board tool. You know, something I'm really diving deep into right now is contentment. Because when you get clients who, like yourself, I mean, not that you're a client, but when you get people who are as actualized as yourself in vision boards, you know, achieving things you set your mind to, sometimes there can be a contentment trap. And so you set out these big, lofty goals and you don't always get there, right? And so that's something I'm exploring right now, is this idea of still having big, hairy, audacious goals and aspirations, but being able to be content in maybe not having achieved them in your own timeline, in your own vision of like, oh, I want to do this by year end. These were my year goals. And 12/31 rolls around and you start doing what I call gapping. It's like, oh, I didn't make it. I didn't hit that goal by 12/31. Well, you know, life just doesn't work that way. And vision boards are great. I just always caution against, you know, against being super rigid. And why? Because I lived that. That comes from a place of experience. So I don't know if I've sent you my 411 journal. Do you have a 411 journal?
No, but you and I talked about me dialing in a 411 several different times. I give you a verbal 411. I haven't actually written
anything down. Yeah, so I'm going to send you my beta. It's a 411 journal, and it encourages everyone every day, again, before 11 a.m., to focus on four things that's going to make them a perfect day. Now, my journal guides, you know, the book will, and the platform guides you towards the four areas that I think make for a perfect day and a perfect life. And it's financial, what I call core, an area of contribution, and an area of experience. And so when you look at your vision board, when I think about that, think of that as awesome and big and sort of the 30,000 view foot view, right? Of like, this is what I'm working towards. What I've experienced with my clients is that gap of like, so how do I get there? And so the 411 journal breaks up those four pieces and sort of encourages you to set out for one little 10-minute goal each day in either of those areas, whether it's contribution, core, financial, or experience. And assuming that whatever those little activities may be gets you towards Mark's vision board. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think we're talking about the same thing because, you know, it is my vision board. It's the places I want to go. But what's really important is that I'm taking, you know, those small steps, you know, one step after another towards the ultimate goal.
Yes.
And just like last year, as you know, I was on Denali and I got stuck at 14,000 feet and it was awful. And it was, you know, 5-6 days in a tent and it was minus 60 degrees. And I had to go back, you know, back down to the bottom. And you know how brutal that was. You know,
yeah.
Dragging those sleds down those steep hills and then back up that heartbreak ridge, you know, the final push to get back into the base camp, having to go back and do that all over again sucked. And it cost me double and everything else. And so I did not achieve my goal. But what did I do to get myself, to put myself in a position to be ready towards that particular goal? And then getting back to like financial stuff or just life stuff. You know, I had put on a goal a year ago, you know, I'm going to buy a home. And so I didn't know where that was going to be. And then it ended up being in some Valley, Idaho. And then I moved, right? So that was my BHAG goal. But, you know, what did I do? So I started kicking all kinds of different tires. And it took me, you know, quite a long time to like figure that out and what city I'm going to be in and all those things. So it's just baby steps to me along the road to get where you want to be.
Bingo. Absolute bingo. It's having the contentment in those little tiny steps in the journey along the way, as cliche as that sounds. You've got to be content in the journey working towards the vision board.
So speaking about your vision board, and, you know, I would certainly want to climb with you any day of the week and always want you on my rope team from here on out. But what kind of mountain are you looking at as your next summit?
You know, I'm sort of going to take a hall pass maybe this year. I don't know. It's Denali. I've been gunning after Denali for many years.
Yeah.
And back to, you know, perfect day and something I call commander's intent. My commander's intent for my life right now is my children. You know, my girls are 12 and 14. And I know it feels silly, but I feel like they're leaving me tomorrow, you know, to go off to college and be out there in the world. And obviously, I couldn't take them up Denali. I had a big mountain before that, Aconcagua. I wouldn't take them up that either. Nope. And, you know, I chose those big mountains. You know, back to earlier, you said, you know, what did you do to get through your divorce? I climbed two big effing awful mountains. So that was the training kept me grounded and focused. The goal kept me grounded and focused. I'm going to kind of take a hall pass. I want to do, you know, we talked about Australia and Kosciuszko. Is that how you say that?
Kosciuszko. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something my girls can go up with me.
Yep.
So I'm excited about that adventure. They're dying to go to Australia and it's not been top on my list. So I think that's next. I, like you, have Everest and Vincent Massif in my future. Those two are coming soon. But, you know, my girls, you may know this, but my girls have both climbed Kilimanjaro with me, and She Climbs, the organization I mentioned that I wrote in my first perfect day.
Yeah.
So they may go back up Kili for their second rodeo, my fifth, this coming December. We've got a big group organized. So, you know, She Climbs goes up Kilimanjaro every year. I have to brag on my oldest. She was the youngest female American to summit Kili, and that was back in, well, if she was just barely 10, so 2014. So we might have Kili and Kosciuszko in our future and anything else, you know?
Yeah.
And I appreciate the comments. I'd climb with you any day, and I hope that there may be an opportunity to be on Vinson or Everest together. Well, so I hope you keep in touch with me.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you right now. So it will be Vinson, January 6th, 2019. My last podcast I did was with Vern, our co-buddy.
Oh, my. The
guy is amazing. He's a nut. You know, his summit on Denali was his 59th. As you and I both met him at the same time, he's 65, going on about 20. He's just a nut. So he's done the 7 summits 10 times. He's got a book out called 70 Summits. He's pretty remarkable. And he leads pretty much that Vinson expedition pretty much all through December and January. So I'm going to try to hook up with him
January. I'd love to climb with Vern. That's awesome. Glad to know it.
Yeah. So I'll let you know when that comes around. Awesome. So where can people find you, Coke?
Mostly CokeyBerrini.com, which is not easy to spell, right? So CokeyBerrini.com. You know, you can find me Googling Perfect Day and Coke Berrini. I've got a couple Facebook pages. I'd really encourage you and others, if you want to explore more and if you're seeking transformation and just a change up, a little bit of a reset, is to join me on 411 Live. And I broadcast that from my Facebook page, which is at Perfect Day Connect. So again, at Perfect Day Connect. I do those 5:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday, Wednesdays. The nasty little secret is, if you're really not seeking transformation and you just want to listen in and glean a few, you know, glean a few learning growth points, you can do it anytime you want. They're all recorded and housed and archived there on that Facebook site.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do for you is put those in the show notes. So anybody that wants to go check out exactly what your channels are, you can find that at markpattisonnfl.com/podcast, and Coke will be there, and we'll put all the transcription along with her Facebook channels and Perfect Day hashtag and all that kind of stuff right there. So listen, Cokey, loved climbing with you. Love getting to get to know you better. We'll always climb with you any day of the week. You know, for you, I hope you have a perfect day. And this podcast has been just transformational for me, and hopefully it will be that way for everybody else who's listening.
Mark, thank you so much. I mean every bit of what I'm about to say, which is you've been a great inspiration to me, and I appreciate this opportunity. Awesome. So sending you many, many perfect days until I see you again.
Beautiful. All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. Okay, and if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, NFL.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.